Hello, and welcome to Minding Kingston's podcast, where we talk about all things mental health with people who live or work in the borough. I'm Vicky Bourne, and I work as the charity's counselling and wellbeing manager. In this edition,
the complexity of why someone becomes homeless in the first place is immense. It's the complexities are profound, and I think mental health can be a cause of why someone becomes homeless in the first place. And certainly if someone's going to become homeless, certainly the extreme being rough sleeping or sofa surfing even, their mental health is not going to get any better. It's going to take a massive downturn.
Matt Hatton was until very recently the CEO of Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness, a local charity that helps single homeless people escape the vicious circle of homelessness and rebuild their lives. Matt worked there for 18 years, but his journey began quite differently.
In the 90s, I was working as a police officer for the British Transport Police, and I was based at Victoria Railway Station and then London Bridge. And in those days, there really wasn't any positive work going on with people that were homeless, rough sleeping on the railway stations. That really sat uncomfortably with me. When I left the police after 5 years, a few years later, I ended up working at a YMCA as a sports therapist, and I could see firsthand again how it was working for people in a hostile environment that had experienced homelessness. And from that experience, I ended up working for Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness. And as you say, I worked there for 18 years. I worked there, stepped up after a couple of years to become the operational director and then the CEO. So it was quite an experience.
Many people, of course, just need a bit of a hands up. But for others, the journey out of homelessness takes a lot longer. So the charity runs a variety of services to reflect these differing needs.
Yeah, well, the real sort of the first thing that really is so important to KCH is our advice service, which is a drop-in service. So anybody, particularly single people, really, who are in some form of housing crisis, can go and see a housing advisor. And that may be to do with welfare benefits, and it could be to do with any kind of housing issue, from disrepair to actually experiencing homelessness and rough sleeping. So it's quite a broad brush. And from there, the housing advisor will be able to either work directly with the clients coming in, or work with other organisations, other charities, or the statutory services to try and find solutions for their particular situation.
Yeah. And inequality, this World Mental Health Day, the theme is mental health in an unequal world. And inequality is the most commonly identified cause of homelessness. And yet homelessness is the least cited example of inequality. Do you think this is because homelessness is too often put down to individual circumstances and moral failures, when in fact its causes are usually structural?
Yeah, I mean, the complexity of why someone becomes homeless in the first place is immense. It's the complexities are profound, and I think mental health can be a cause of why someone becomes homeless in the first place. And certainly if someone's going to become homeless, certainly the extreme being rough sleeping or sofa surfing even, their mental health is not going to get any better. It's going to take a massive downturn. We've all got in the area that I was working in, the statutory services and the voluntary sector, we've got a massive responsibility to overcome the sort of red tape, the sticking points that prevents solutions from happening quickly for someone who's in that position.
Because the descent can be really rapid.
Massively. I mean, the relationship breakdown that can happen really quickly. In 1 minute, you know, you're in a situation where you've got a roof over your head. The next minute, you haven't. And you could end up losing your job as a result of that very quickly. And that's how it can rapidly unfold for somebody.
So when lockdown first happened back in March 2020, KCAH had to work quickly to help people off the streets and into accommodation to self-isolate. It was all part of the Everyone In campaign. And I was wondering how that worked out and what its legacy has been.
Yeah, I mean, it was just quite an amazing period, really. And some tremendous partnership working like I've not experienced before, which really showed what can be done in terms of, you know, trying to find solutions for people who are experiencing homelessness. So in Kingston, that partnership working between the local authority and over that the Ministry of Housing, MHCLG, and working with organisations and charities like KCAH and SPEAR and all the other charities actually in the voluntary sector, it was an amazing time, and we were able to just get on with the job. And very under the directive that was led by Dame Louise Casey, we were, you know, given that carte blanche to get people off the streets and into hotel accommodation, which was sourced by the local authority. And so I just thought it was incredible what we were able to achieve in a short period of time.
And shows what can be done, doesn't it, when everybody works together and some money is put behind it.
Exactly. And long may that continue. I think that's the difficulty now is can partnership working be as good as it was there then? Because the problem with all these things is that if it's a short-term solution, that's not good for anybody. And even the hotel, getting people into hotels, that is only the starting point because, yes, it does give those people that might be experiencing rough sleeping a really important break, some relief, a roof over their head and some, you know, decent food.
Practical needs.
Actually, the inequalities for those people still continue. And when you're talking about mental health, you know, what you would ideally want is that in reach work going on with the people in the hotels where they do get that support, whether it's mental health or addressing addiction issues or those kind of things. And to some extent that went on, but by no means was it perfect.
No, and I suppose you can a lot of people, it was a very isolated existence as well, whereas, you know, when they were on the streets, then at least, you know, you probably saw more people around. So that must have had an impact as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the experiences were so individual in that sense. When someone's rough sleeping, they can be very self-isolated, or they can be part of a homeless community almost, and that can be positive in one sense, but then you're also susceptible if you're vulnerable to a lot of negative things going on. In the hotels, again, it was everybody was there for the same reason, but managing that was really very difficult. So the purpose of it was to try to ensure that COVID-19 didn't spread. When you've got people that have been on the streets for a long time, they, you know, some of them will have quite a chaotic lifestyle, and actually self-isolating was really, really difficult for a lot of people.
A challenge. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And some people might be surprised to hear that Kingston actually ranks amongst the top 30 local authorities with the highest rates of homelessness in the country. A leafy borough, but has its problems as well.
Exactly. I mean, proportionate to the size of our borough, I think those figures came from Shelter in 2019. And that's a combination of the numbers on the streets, rough sleeping, and those in temporary accommodation that are placed into temporary accommodation by the local authority. So certainly there's a lot of work to be done in Kingston, and there's just a shortage of housing in Kingston. I don't know what the solution for that is, but when you've got individuals that
a shortage of social housing.
Exactly, a shortage of social housing, affordable housing. And that's one of the issues for Kingston, I think, is those people that are on the poverty line, and now we're coming out of COVID, you know, we're going into a period where there's lots of unknowns, but there's poverty, there's deprivation in Kingston, and one person on the streets is one person too many, as far as I'm concerned. And those mental health inequalities, getting access to the health services, is something that that joined up writing is just so vitally important moving forward.
Yep, absolutely. And of course, during the time of the pandemic, the project lost one of its most amazing and much-loved champions, the Reverend Peter Holmes, to COVID-19. And his flagship project, the Joel Community Night Shelter, has been a legacy to him and will continue to be so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Peter was a really important person, and particularly in that part of Kingston and Norbiton where you have got real severe pockets of deprivation as well. So he, for me, I looked upon him as a sort of mentor. He certainly was so encouraging to me in the work that I was doing at KCAH. Again, that partnership working with the local churches, he was always the person to be one of the first to put his hand up and to say, yeah, I'm in, when it was about tackling homelessness in Kingston. So, you know, from the time that we set up a sort of a Kingston Church's winter night shelter scheme back in 2009, you know, Peter was one of the first to say, yeah, let's do it. And then
it was a groundbreaking project at the time, wasn't it? And faced some opposition, as I recall.
Yeah, it snowballed, and from there, Peter wanted to go that step further, and so he created the Joel project, using the church hall at St Peter's Church in Norbiton, which was a nursery, to turn that into a night shelter scheme. And yeah, there was a local opposition for that, but he knew what needed to be done, and, you know, step forward. He did an amazing job there. With COVID-19, the Joel night shelter, as it was, couldn't continue because of public health reasons. So, and then unfortunately, Peter died of COVID himself. And that was a massive loss to everybody who knows him and for the local community. KCAH has taken on the Joel project now. And so it's for people that are on a journey into recovery, people who've been homeless on the streets of Kingston and have suffered from problematic issues around drug and alcohol and mental health, and are on a journey. So it's a slightly different project now, but hopefully it carries on the legacy of Peter and the work that he did.
Yeah, that's so good to hear. And all of this work, you know, it can be very difficult at times. How have you found it's impacted on your own mental health, and how do you look after that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, working with some of the most marginalised, vulnerable people in the community of Kingston, in the Kingston borough, that has been an absolute privilege. And I really enjoyed my time at KCAH, and I've still got a real passion for tackling homelessness effectively. But it did take its toll, and after, you know, going through that whole madness and craziness of COVID and what we did, and the staff and the volunteers of KCH are just the most amazing people and that I had, you know, the opportunity to work with. It came to a point where I woke up one day and I had to say to myself, I can't do this anymore. It came hand in hand with a relationship breakdown, my own marriage breaking up as well. And I realised, you know, with all the things that, you know, I knew about mental health, it was definitely time to say, right, I've got to take time out. I've got to look after myself.
And that can be so hard, can't it, to reach that decision, I think, because the work becomes very addictive, as you say.
It was, yeah, incredibly, you know, those long working hours. I'd got into a very poor routine of doing too many hours and not actually looking after myself. And when you're working with people that need your help, you've got to be on top form yourself, I think. But actually the decision at the end of the day was quite easy and quite simple, and it's time for someone else to take on the mantle, and, you know, with fresh energy and fresh impetus. It was good for KCH and it was good for me. So right now, yeah, I'm definitely on that sort of journey of discovery myself, trying to look after myself. And I think that whole thing of self-love as well is just really important. And working with people who've experienced homelessness, that self-confidence, that self-esteem, that self-love is just so lacking. I just think it's incredibly important for people and actually working out, finding those tools and to help yourself, really. And I think that's the first point, the first thing for anybody experiencing mental health trauma of any sort is you've got to get help, you know, whether that's your support local, whether that's your support system through friends and family. But if you haven't even got that support network, then there are people out there that you can reach out to, whether that's starting with your GP, and just trying all things. Whether the first thing doesn't work for you, there's going to be another pathway.
Absolutely. It's having the courage, isn't it, to reach out to someone, be honest about how you're feeling and take that first step. And as you say, there are plenty of people out there to help, but it's finding those, isn't it? And getting on that, you know, realising that you need help yourself, and also that the messages you give out to other people, you need to apply them to yourself as well, which can be hard.
Absolutely. So that whole thing of looking after yourself, again, you've got to work out what's right for you. But we know, I know certainly working in the area that I've been in, that having a purpose in your life, having things to do, having a community around you, looking after your health is really important. Health and homelessness go hand in hand together. But I've got to practice it myself as well. So little things
not
like...
Not always easy.
Yeah, exactly. So little things that I'm doing at the moment is, you know, I'm doing my sort of gratitude diary each day.
Yeah.
Because that's really...
I love those.
Yeah, it's really helping me, because you want to step out of that negative mindset and try to stay positive as much as you can in a world where it just seems like everything's falling down.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Yeah, but just you can retrain your mind, can't you, to look for the positive, even in the gloomiest of days.
Absolutely. And I've seen that was definitely the thing that was so inspiring at KCAH, is seeing how people who were in some depths of despair, you know, in real trauma, were able to, you know, seek help, get help, find solutions and move on to the next chapter of their lives. And when there is a positive story out there, it's just so inspiring.
So you're still in the borough, I'm assuming, Matt, and I'm just wondering whether you have any favourite places you like to go and spend time. try to ask all my guests this, and they usually come up with somewhere different, but no pressure.
Oh, no pressure at all then. I'm Kingston born and bred. At the moment, I really enjoy walking down the promenades, being by the river. The water is really lovely. I've always enjoyed Richmond Park. I find that as a sanctuary. I've always enjoyed running. I went to Tiffin Boys and we used to go into Richmond Park and do our cross-country running there, and that's always stayed with me. And you know, going to Isabella Plantation is just fantastic for me. And Bushy Park, I know that's slightly out of the area, so all those things, you know, nature, I just think is really important. And going for a walk and getting your headspace in those areas where things are less frantic, a bit more peaceful, I think that's really important for everybody. And we're really fortunate to have those things on our doorstep.
We certainly are. Well, thank you so much for coming along and being a guest today, Matt. I've really enjoyed talking to you and,
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I was talking there to Matt Hatton, outgoing CEO of Kingston Church's Action on Homelessness. Before we go, do have a listen to the other chats in this series. You can find them wherever you usually download your podcasts. And we'd be grateful if you subscribed and left a review too. It all helps to spread the word. I'm Vicky Bourne of Mind in Kingston, and until the next time, take good care.